we're going to go ahead and talk about the Jews and the Greeks and how they fit in with prophecy, with the body of Christ, with Israel. And it's kind of a complex picture of what was going on there. By the way, there's one limit that's placed on Paul and on the body of Christ back then, put on it now from the scriptures. I don't agree with most of the teachers. I don't find anywhere where it restricts Paul from going to alien Gentiles. Paul was early on sent to the Jew first and also to the Greek, not sent to the alien Gentiles. But he wasn't restricted from going. Look at Acts 16. He was in jail, and after the earthquake, the jailer came and trembling and was ready to kill himself, and the jailer came to Paul. Paul wasn't sent to the jailer. Paul didn't go to the jailer. He was staying in the jail, and the jailer came to him. But Paul did share the gospel with him. And there was another one similar to that. What was I was thinking about earlier. I should have written it down. But that happens fairly... Well, I shouldn't say often, but in several places in Paul's Acts ministry there, from Acts 13 to Acts 19, just before the Acts 20, verse 6, sending of Paul to all men. See, but it's, again, it's ascending. He wasn't restricted before that. He was sent to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And why? Well, that's what we're getting into tonight. It has to do with provoking the Jews, Israel, believing Israel. The Jews and the Greeks were to provoke Israel. Paul was to provoke Israel also, but a different way. Paul was to provoke Israel to emulation, to copying these believers that had been Jews and Greeks in the synagogues, and now they were believing. They were the remnant according to the election of grace. They were believing Paul's gospel. After having heard the gospel of God, exiting the synagogue and entering Paul's meeting, hearing the gospel of Christ. So, those people that had been under Israel's covenants, they were aware of God's exceeding great and precious promises to them. One of the central promises was that of making Israel a kingdom. And as Scripture puts it, they're a kingdom of priests. They've got a duty. They are to priest to the rest of the world at a certain time when that comes to be. They're going to be a kingdom of priests, a holy nation, the land from which Christ would rule the world for 1,000 years. So that kingdom is a nation in the land outlined in two different ways in the scriptures. It's outlined by the physical, the rivers and things like that, from the Nile to the Euphrates and up to into Lebanon, near to Syria. I'm not sure, maybe into what's Turkey now even. But the other way it's mentioned is by the nations that have taken over in that area, that are going to be displaced. That's the area that is the land that God gives to Israel. God gave to Israel, to the fathers, centuries ago. Let's look at the challenge the Lord gave Israel, the gift and the challenge. So maybe those aren't good words for it. Let's see if we, when we read the verses, if it comes up a better way of putting it. I guess if it's a gift, it wouldn't have a challenge to it. And if it's a challenge, it's not a strictly a gift. So let's see what it is. Exodus 19, verse 3. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called him out of, called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel. Verse 4, You have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Verse 5, Now, therefore, in other words, because he did this to the Egyptians and brought Israel to himself, if, there's a condition, if you will obey my voice, indeed, and keep my covenant, so there's obedience and keeping the covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests. There it is. God's word says so. And an holy nation. These are the words thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Well, from the time it was first given, there was a condition to that promise. If you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant. But Israel did not keep God's covenant. Israel did not obey God's voice or keep his commandments. Israel was not a holy nation. Israel's disbelief rightfully provoked God. In 1 Kings 14:23, it says, the Bible says, For they also built them high places. And that's not good. They built them high places and images, and they were not to have graven images. High places and images and groves. You've heard of the Druids. On every high hill and under every green tree. So they were going far astray. Ezekiel 6:13. Then shall you know that I am the Lord, when their slain men shall be among their idols, round about their altars, upon every high hill, in all the tops of the mountains, and under every green tree, and under every thick oak, the place where they did offer sweet savor to all their idols. See how they're turning what God gave them to worship him into worshiping idols. Jeremiah 7:18. The children gather wood, and the fathers kindle the fire. The women knead their dough to make cakes to the queen of heaven. That's not a good thing. You've heard of the Queen of Heaven. I don't know which, the current end or the early end, early beginning in the scriptures, but it came about before this, actually. To make cakes to the Queen of Heaven and to pour out drink offerings unto other gods, that they may provoke me to anger. This is Jeremiah 44:3 now. Because of their wickedness which they have committed to provoke me to anger, in that they went to burn incense and to serve other gods whom they knew not, neither they, ye, nor your fathers. Verse 8, in that you provoked me to wrath with the works of your hands, burning incense unto other gods in the land of Egypt, whither ye be gone to dwell, that ye might cut yourselves off, and that ye might be a curse and a reproach among all the nations of the earth. Jeremiah 44:25, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, you and your wives have both spoken with your mouths and fulfilled with your hands, saying, we will surely perform our vows that we have vowed to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven and to pour out drink offerings unto her. Ye will surely accomplish your vows and surely perform your vows. When God sent his only begotten Son into the world to his people, to Israel, his own received him not. Israel provoked God by rejecting and rebelling against the Father, then the Son, and now finally against the Holy Ghost. Israel provoked God by rejecting and rebelling against the Father through their prophets, and John the Baptist, and you can see that Acts 7:52, and we'll look at that in a minute, I think, here. But let me get through this. Not only the prophets they rejected, but the law, John 7:19. Israel provoked God by rejecting and rebelling against the Son of God, on the cross. John 19:6 and Matthew 27:25. Finally, Israel provoked God by rejecting and rebelling against the Holy Ghost, crying out with a loud voice against the Holy Ghost in the speaking. The Holy Ghost was speaking through the mouth of Stephen, and of course, they stoned him then in Acts 7:57-58, and already identified by Christ as the unforgivable sin, just speaking against the Holy Ghost. Matthew 12:32 tells us that, and Israel fell from those three rejections of the three persons of God. Those references are our authority for this whole doctrine. Let's not pass over them lightly. That's how we know that there is a division to be rightly divided. Israel rejected and rebelled against the Father. That was Acts 7:52. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the Just One, of whom you have been now the betrayers and murderers. So they rejected Christ. John 7:19. Did Moses not give you the law? And yet none of you keepeth the law. So they all fell short of the law. Why go ye about to kill me? Israel rejected and rebelled against the Father. Look at how Israel rejected and rebelled against the Son. John 19:6. When the chief priests, therefore, and the officers saw him, they cried out, saying, crucify him, crucify him. And Pilate saith unto them, this is a terrible statement, you know. If the president said this, something like this, you know, he says, Pilate said unto them, take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. Any one of us could be crucified or could be killed, you know. If they can, the government can come and take you and say, you've done nothing wrong, you're going to be killed, you're executed. It's terrible that, well, without that happening, we wouldn't have a Savior either. Matthew 27:25. Then answered all the people and said, his blood be on us and on our children. And we can see how Israel rejected and rebelled against the Holy Ghost. Look at the promise there, the unforgivable sin in Matthew 12:32. Whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. He said, Jesus said it from the cross. But whosoever speaketh against, no word in there about blasphemy, which would be even more severe, wouldn't it? But just speaking against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. So that's Acts. We can see when that happened, when they did commit that unforgivable sin. Acts 7:57, and they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord. 58, and cast him out of the city and stoned him. Talking about Stephen. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And we know that from other scriptures to have been Saul of Tarsus, later called Paul, called by his other name Paul. That was Israel rejecting the Holy Ghost. And God waited until Israel had fallen. In Acts 7, that was Acts 7:57-58. He waited until that happened before he began the revealing of the mystery of Christ in Acts 9. According to Acts 26:16, where Christ said, I will appear unto thee. And in Acts 9, that Acts 26 quote is what Paul heard Christ say to him in Acts 9 on the road to Damascus. According to the context in Acts 26, there, when we know that's when it was spoken. Christ appeared to Paul, Saul of Tarsus, he gave him a new and different gospel of salvation. You can tell that from Galatians 1. Verses 11 and 12, I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, that means he did not receive it from Peter or Paul, Peter or Philip or Thomas, any of those. Neither was I taught it. He didn't receive it from other people teaching him. But by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ himself revealed it to him. Well, we know that Paul saw Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus there, in that as a bright light. But he saw him, Acts 22, about 16, 15, 14, somewhere in there, maybe 12. It says that he saw the just one. He didn't just see the light, he saw the just one. That being Jesus. But Israel did fall. And we can see in Matthew 21, verses 23 to, we'll start there and then go down to 42. And when he was come into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching and said, by what authority doest thou these things? And he gave, and who gave thee this authority? Sorry about my stumbling there. Want to make sure we get God's word correct. It's our authority. Matthew 21:42-43. Jesus said unto them, did you never read the scriptures? So, they should have known. In other words, the stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. Therefore I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. And then in Luke 12:32, we find Christ saying, "Fear not, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." So the kingdom was taken from apostate Israel. These kingdom promises that they couldn't stop expecting it to come to them, the scribes and Pharisees in charge there in Jerusalem at the time, and realize that it's going to the prophetic remnant, the little flock that did believe that Jesus was that prophet sent by God like unto Moses, that the people would listen to. Well, the little flock did listen. The leadership and the majority of the Jews did reject and rebel against the Father and the Son of God and the Holy Ghost. But those Jews that did believe the gospel of God, they were part of the little flock, remnant of believing Israel. And Jesus made them a nation in Matthew 21:42-43 that we just read there. "The kingdom shall be taken from you and given to a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof." In that verse and in Luke 12:32, Jesus made that little flock of believing Israel a nation. Now, it was a foolish nation to apostate Israel. They thought they were foolish. But there were at least three prophecies about how God would provoke apostate Israel to change their minds about their Messiah. Well, first, let's consider the prophecy that shows that God provoked apostate Israel to believe God by the signs he showed. He himself showed them signs, as well as signs through believers. But there were a variety of instances of it. Numbers 14:11. You know, if you can picture from the background we've read in those verses in Jeremiah, now we get to this verse. "And the Lord said unto Moses, How long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I have showed among them?" So there's another confirmation verse that the signs were to get Israel to believe. It was like a shoehorn to help get them to believe. And yet it says, how long will it be? They don't believe yet, in other words. And we can see from those signs, we can see them, signs scattered. Look at Israel's exodus from Egypt, all those plagues, and the sea opening up, signs of God to get Israel to believe. And through the Old Testament, through Christ's earthly ministry, through the acceptable year of the Lord in Acts 1-6, as well as through the body of Christ during the dispensation of the gospel, in at least Acts 13-19, and through the signs of an apostle, even after during the dispensation of the grace of God. Although that's one thing, the signs. Secondly, let's consider another different prophecy that was prophesied to Israel about a work that God will do. And that will tell them that the prophecy tells them that they will not believe him. Right within the prophecy. Not that they're given an excuse. They're not excused from believing God. Apostate Israel continued to provoke their God by disbelief. Look at Habakkuk 1:5. "Behold ye among the heathen." So he's writing to them among the heathen. "And regard and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days which you will not believe, though it be told you. Now, let's look at an Acts event that Paul associates with that prophesied work. Doesn't mean that that Paul's in the Old Testament or anything, or prophesied, but let's see what it says here in Acts 13, verse 2, when he's being sent out in a dispensation of the gospel. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work." The work there mentioned. "For the work whereunto I have called them." And then in verse 41, after he preached his sermon to those in the Antioch Pisidian synagogue, in verse 41, "Behold, you despisers, and wonder and perish, for I work a work in your days, a work which you shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you." And when so he takes the exact prophecy and applies it to that group there, that teaching of the gospel of God. And then after they got the gospel of God, he preached the gospel of Christ. The gospel of God in Acts 13, verses 28 through 30. And the gospel of Christ from verse 30 on through verse 39. But to continue on in the context here, Acts 13, 42. "And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath." Now, you can see this is early in Paul's ministry. He was sent to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And he's got this, as we'll see, or if you look it up, he's got like the whole town coming to him to hear about this gospel that he's preaching. And you can see it in Acts 13, 38 and 39. It's the gospel we believe. Through Jesus Christ, we have forgiveness. And we have forgiveness justifying us of things that you couldn't be justified by through Moses' law, through Moses' doctrines, through the covenants. So, hold on a minute. it slipped my mind here. Let me read it again. Verse 42. "And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them." There you've got it. Paul wasn't sent to those Gentiles yet. But, they came to him. He wasn't restricted from answering questions. How do I be saved? "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." Acts 16:31. He did answer that jailer. He answered these people too. Go on to verse 43. "Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God." Verse 44, "And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God." Again, they're coming to Paul. He's not going out trying to, he's not acting like he's sent to them, but he preaches the gospel when he can and answers their questions. The whole city came together to hear the word of God. "But when the Jews saw the multitude, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming." Verse 46, "Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said that it was necessary." That's a strong word, necessary. No other way around it. "It was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, to those Jews and Greeks in the synagogue, some of which believed, some of which didn't. But seeing you put it from you, those are the ones that didn't believe, obviously, and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. Now, he's not saying that, you know, this is the first of three times he says something like that. The third time is the clincher. He adds a lock on it, kind of. We're not going to go through that right now, but he says it in more specific terms, and that's the end of Israel's diminishing. They're fallen altogether. Their partial blinding is over with. They're blinded. And you can read that in Acts 28, verses 25 to 29. But in these verses here, in Acts 13:41, Paul connects the Old Testament prophecy in Habakkuk 1, verse 5, with the actual fulfillment event in Acts 13, verses 14 to 52. That whole incident there, that preaching and the sermon recorded, Paul's first recorded sermon, in Antioch of Pisidia. And that's the first in the dispensation or dispensing of the gospel. Getting the gospel from God's mouth to Paul's pen and out to the people, preached to them. And make no mistake, the mystery of Christ is not prophecy. It's not in prophecy. This was not the mystery of Christ that was a fulfillment of the Habakkuk 1:5 prophecy. It was Paul. Paul was that person, but it was not. There was nothing about the mystery that was revealed back then. It was not hidden. It was not revealed. There was no hint that there was more to it when Paul would come along. No hint in the Old Testament in those prophecies. In Acts 13:45, it reports that the Jews spake against and contradicted those things which were spoken by Paul. And as Paul traveled from synagogue to synagogue to synagogue, the Jews continued to commit their unforgivable sin of speaking against the Holy Ghost, as warned about in Matthew 12, verse 32, and whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of God, the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Well, that's not this world. That was past. This world would have been back then. So he's not talking to us. He was talking to Israel, and that already happened. That fall, we read about it in Acts 7, 57 and 58. Acts chapter 7, verse 57. Well, we'll stop here and pick it up again tomorrow. And I hope this is enlightening. God does answer prophecy. He does fulfill prophecy. And he did bring about a new system of bringing people to him without regard to Israel, without using Israel to... He used a Jew, yes. Jesus was the fulfillment of Luke 1:35. He was the Word that became flesh in John 1:14. So... let me just be available for questions if there are questions or comments.